What triggering mechanisms will occur along the steps of the way? When will there be, are there going to be various steps along the way, go, no-go projects? Because there are a lot of questions. I know I read the newspaper article today, and that kind of paraphrased or just, I mean, summarized Joel's report. Without reading the report, I know exactly what's in there because I'm in the same business. And but, you know, there, you know, this is much more different than a preliminary plat and a final plat because per state law, a preliminary plat has standing if the final plat comes in this, within a certain amount of time. Is there going to be any time frame on this? That's one thing with the general development plan. And secondly, the putting in and reference to, about the TID district and if the TID district or the TIF district is feasible or not. That's something for the Common Council, the fiduciary responsibility of the Common Council to decide down the road, except I'm concerned about the amount of retail at this proposal or any retail in Franklin, because knowing what I know about retail development in the region area, I'm now convinced more than ever Franklin is not a retail community or a major retail community. Yes, I was just at Target last Saturday. I like it. However, but we're not a major. You know, 10 minutes away, everybody in this room can be at every retail establishment we want to the north. 84 South in Greenfield is a 80-acre development, mixed-use development, similar to this. You know, what market are we trying to meet here? And because the Franca just doesn't have the density, the dense rooftops. Yes, we're maybe if this project goes through, we're increasing density, but still not a lot. I think what Franca should put its eggs in the basket in it is industrial. We do it well. We've done it well. And should pursue that. So basically, thank you. And I do have concerns about how we're going to go along in the future. And if this proceeds to the point that the general development plan is approved, what are the steps? Because I see a lot of red flags down the road in this. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Hello, my name is Dana Gint. I'm at 9011 West Hawthorne Lane, and here are my children, Cassidy and Mason. And I ask that you carefully consider these decisions because this will not only impact my lifeline, but my children will also have the impact from whatever decision you make this evening. Not only that, but their children will be impacted by your decision for the school system. I ask that you not hastily review such a large and complicated project. The 112-page plan that was supplied only 48 hours ago requires a thoughtful and thorough analysis. The project should at a minimum have the initial steps of the DNR approval, light and sound plans, costs of the road and transportation systems, and the impact on the school system fully evaluated before any decision is made. I ask you not to approve the zoning until everyone has all the details of this plan to truly consider the real costs to the community for the long term. Thank you.
Hi, Ernie Latinsky, 7324 Stonehedge, South Stonehedge. Last few weeks, I've heard a lot about community, and try to be objective here. Being an engineer, I had to look up the definition of community. So, community is defined by Webster-Merriam as people of common interests living in a particular area with common social and economic interests. Community we signed up for was R3. So I was promised, that's what other neighbors were promised here. That's the south side of Rawson. The folks in Greendale, who, and I appreciate to the Planning Commission for making a recommendation to get support from Greendale, as you put in the 112-page thing. So they're looking at the same thing. So to my Greendale residents, thank you for being a community with us in trying to make sure we stand together. The part that is particularly disturbing to me is berms. Berms, once again, is a physical stationary barrier of some kind to separate two distinct characteristics, objects, or peoples. I'm going to have berms in my backyard. Last time I had berms in my backyard was in Kandahar in Afghanistan when guys were trying to kill me with 7.62 lead poisoning. I don't like berms. So in essence, both the developer and the planning commission need to take a look at what community is. I do not understand the rationale behind multifamily housing and argue that the original intent of R3 zoning should remain in place, create the community, a single-family community that we envision. Thank you. I'm sorry, I'm nervous.
Well, seeing no others in line, I think we've hopefully hit the end of the line. I'm going to make one last call. If there's no other calls, I'd like to close the public hearing, and we'll move on to the commission to want to deliberate and ask questions of the developers in front of us. Are there any questions?
Thanks.
Mr. Thinnes.
I appreciate the information that we were provided by the developers, the proposals and everything. I also appreciate all the comments tonight. We had some good comments, some good concerns. Also appreciate the planning department's efforts in putting together this package that we received. And that's where my concern lies is I received this package late Monday evening, and I haven't had time to review this the way I think I should. There's a lot of stuff in here. This is probably the biggest staff report I've seen since I've been on this commission. There's a lot of recommendations and suggestions made by the planning department in here pointing things out, and I do feel rushed. I honestly do. I think I need more time to go through this stuff and come to terms in my mind with what's going on with this whole project. With that, I have a couple of questions that maybe the owner, you're an owner, right, of this particular plan, not the old rock? Is that?
Yeah. Nothing to do with the rock itself. Probably.
Okay,
and
so
Milwaukee County still owns the rock. It's still Milwaukee County.
Okay.
Mike Zimmerman operates it.
Well, that's
Greg, try to use the microphone.
That's the basis of my question.
Certainly.
The county still owns the land that the rock is sitting on.
Correct.
There was some statement in this larger pamphlet that said something about they had taken control of everything but 4.5 acres of the property that they're on. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah.
What is that about?
The property for the rock, okay? The property south of Rawson, all but one parcel, is owned or controlled by Mike Zimmerman and Greg Marceau. To the north, Mike Zimmerman has an operating agreement with the county that covers what can happen on the lands. There's an approved PDD today that defines what can happen on those lands.
Okay, but the county still owns the land.
The county still owns the land.
And it is still a property tax exempt land.
Correct.
No property taxes are paid to the city of Franklin at all on that land and its value.
To the best of my knowledge, that's true.
Okay. Who owns the improvements that are on the land?
Ultimately, the county owns the improvements that are on the land.
So any financial failures that occur with the rock business proper, the improvements that are on that land then would revert over to county ownership. The ball fields, whatever else gets built on there, that stadium, for instance, will be on county land, I assume?
I have not reviewed I've never read or seen the agreement between Mr. Okay. Zimmerman. Excuse me. Between Mr. Zimmerman and the county for the operations of the rock. If it is set up similar to the types of ground leases you would see for ski resorts on national forest land, then the improvements are to remain the
property
of the landowner.
That's all conjecture.
Yeah.
Because we do have a real situation in the city of Franklin that occurred with a public-private development called the sports complex, which was created years ago under the same terms that basically this is being done under. And that fell through. That was the Rampage that had an agreement with the county to operate the sports complex as an indoor soccer. And the county ended up having to take that over. And for considerable cost to taxpayers, I guess they're struggling with it. I mean, it's coming around now, but, you know, it was a very similar thing. And I see those are a lot of the concerns. You know, I mean, what happens if this doesn't work out? And who owns that stadium? Especially if it's, you know, I mean, there's talk of financial assistance through the city with the stadium. What happens if, you know, I mean, if I'm going to borrow money to something, the first thing I want to do is have a way of securing it. I want to have a claim against it if something goes wrong. How do we have a claim against a stadium that the county may already have encumbered through a lease agreement with him, you know, with the county, that they own that thing?
I can't give you an answer. There's not even really a question there that I know how to answer. The city attorney is the one who is tasked with the responsibility of ensuring that the agreements that are struck between the county and the county has their team of attorneys that would be working to craft that agreement as well. I mean, if the city has specific interests that it wants to protect, it needs to ensure that those...
we have a decision to make, too, that has a bearing on it.
Well, I think technically they're separate issues, but I certainly appreciate the perspective you have on it. But the approval that you make today has to do with whether the project would be allowed to move forward. Part of the problem we're having tonight is that there's a cart and horse conversation that folks are having, and the issue is it's very, very rare that anyone would ever go down the path to determine the ultimate feasibility of anything like this without knowing that if you figure out that you can do it, you're not allowed to do it. Why would you ever try to figure out if you can do something you're not allowed to do? That path is untenable, particularly when dealing with something of the scale of this. So there will be hundreds of thousands and then millions of dollars spent in the pursuit of these developments. You can't spend that money only to find out that you were never allowed to do it in the first place. I mean, we just, as developers, we can't do that. So what we're looking to do is to establish through a general plan, and that's the purpose of the general plan, is to establish the benchmarks. It's to establish where are the lines in the development that we know if we meet the standards we can then pursue. If we don't meet the standards, we won't be able to do it regardless. But if we don't know that we can do it, we can't possibly chase the rabbit down the hole. So it's a cart and a horse problem. I'm not trying to dodge an answer. I don't have an answer to give you.
Well, you know, and these are the problems when trying to make a decision like this, is that nobody knows the answers to those questions, but there's a lot of financial stuff. You know, I mean, they're talking about TIF district here. Well, TIF district means it dependent on increment to pay itself off.
Correct.
Well, if the facilities that are being built here aren't creating increment because they're on tax-exempt land.
Well, we have already stated that we anticipate a payment in lieu of taxes for the stadium.
Well, yeah, but what happened to that five years ago when the Rock was first built? They've been on that land for 5 years. Mr. Lewandowski here was listing off police reports. I mean, I've seen flashing lights up at the Rock a number of times since they've been here, and I'm wondering who's paying for that, because we're not getting any revenue from that facility over there, which means that extra cost is getting split up because it's being paid. You know, there's a cost associated with that, but it's all the other taxpayers in the city that have to pay that cost because there's no revenue coming out of there. And it's associated that development in the city creates expense for the city. That's why when the state put on levy limits, they said you can increase your levy limit by the amount of new development in the city every year, because they realize that there's an expense to the city associated with that new development. So I don't know what's on there now. What, $8 million worth of development on there in the existing Rock? That's why I've heard numbers like that. You know, it's like $50,000 a year in taxes that aren't being paid to the city. So, you know, I have hesitation to being supportive of expanding that situation. I don't know what he's... I heard pilot payment, but again, it's, we're going to make pilot payment. How much?
To be determined based upon the estimated to be determined based upon the estimated cost of the expenses the city that would incur. It's not city land. I mean, you are trying to collect taxes for land that isn't city land too. So it's a complicated ownership structure, and that's just part of the underlying issue. That's why a payment in lieu of taxes would be incorporated as part of the process.
Not very little of the land in the city that they collect taxes on is city land. It's owned by private owners. You know, it's all privately owned land. But okay, you've answered
It doesn't reside within the city, though. Is my point. I mean, it's county. It's county land, not city land.
It is county land, but it's in the city.
It's within the city, but it's county land.
Are you through, Mr. Sinnott?
Yeah, I'm satisfied
okay.
with
Mr. Haley.
Good evening. I appreciate you all coming and sitting through all this. I'm going to start by doing full disclosure. As many of you probably know, I am an employee of Milwaukee County. I work for the Parks Department for almost 25 years. I have some unique insights on this. But I will say that, you know, there is no conflict of interest here. I'm a citizen volunteer representing my city, trying to help them make decisions through a process that's been clearly established. And that's why I'm sitting here. I certainly don't want to debate a lot of the nuances that are coming through here, but I think there's some basic things that everybody needs to understand, in particular some of the comments that were just made. Crystal Ridge, the Rock, the land that sits there, it's county parkland. It has been for a long time, 30 years. It has not paid tax, it never did, and it never will, because it's parkland. What you have out there, all of those amenities, is a recreational amenity for the people of Milwaukee County. This is part of the park system that you all use that gives value to your properties, that is quality of life. And I heard that, and again, I don't want to be argumentative with anybody, but remember, what's in front of us here is we're not making the decisions. We as the commission will make a recommendation to the council on how we feel about this. And what we need to really do is there's a process here, and this is the process we're going through. Staff has done an incredible job of going through and looking at all kinds of information. They've done a great job. They pointed it out. Staff has come forward with a recommendation that we approve this. We are not the ones approving it. The council will have the final word on this. Everybody needs to understand that. Your comments here were great. We heard them, but we are not the ones that will make this decision. What we have to do is what we've been tasked with as a citizen commission, and that's to make a recommendation. Either we think it's a good idea or we think it's a bad idea, and move that on to the council where there will be action. That's really what this is all about. I'm a Franklin resident. I understand a lot of what you're saying. I share many of those thoughts. But we're not talking about a TIF district here. We're not talking about anything except taking a boundary that's already been established and expanding it to potentially envelop more development. Okay? The county hasn't spent any money on this development. We have no interest in the other things that are happening here. This is economic development. This is about quality of life in Franklin. You've all brought it up. Now, we'll all have to decide what is the right thing to do, but that's not us here. And I think you're right, short term, Scott. I didn't make the effort. I put a lot of time into going through this stuff. It's been pretty well vetted. Staff is all over this. The comments are there. We can see this. I think that there's enough information here for our council to take action on it one way or another, and they will do that regardless of how, whether we recommend this or not. It's not our task. So let's just try to stay on the task here. We appreciate what you're saying, but they need to move forward with a process. They don't know whether this is going anywhere until somebody says, okay, take the next step. They can't do more detail. The answers aren't there, and we're not approving a final plan. We do this all the time on the plan commission, PDDs. They get modified all the time. That's sort of the process, is you come up with this idea and you say, here's the envelope in which it'll happen. And then as things flesh out and develop, just like everything else in life, changes happen. PDDs are fairly common with PDDs, and this is just the process. So I'm just going to try to redirect this here. It's not about the county or taxes. It never will be. It's about an amenity there. The development to the south is a Franklin thing. It has nothing to do with the county.
What's your job?
I'm a landscape architect.
No, I mean, like, why are you sitting in that chair? What are you doing?
Wait.
Okay.
Do not direct.
I thought we made it clear.
No, you are out of turn, and it is the council, it's the commission's opportunity to talk. What has happened here is the decision that has to be made at this point is what Mr. Haley exactly said. Do we want to make a recommendation to the council to accept or recommend a zoning change to encompass lands that aren't in the PDD at the present time? That is all we're doing. We're in an infancy. This is at the beginning. This is not the end. But it allows this development team to invest lots of money to see if this concept has any girth at all. We will answer those questions that Mr. Thinnes has. We will answer questions of investment and feasibility that the CPA mentioned out there. Those are deep concerns of members of the Common Council and members of this commission. We are concerned about tax on the increment that would happen. We're concerned about the phasing and the construction of this project and how it would all come together, okay? Because if the city is going to bond on this project, the city is responsible for making the payments, not the developer. It's all the taxpayers. So these are all deep-rooted questions that are going to be pursued in the future. This is at the beginning, and these individuals are asking us to please allow them to continue on with the process to see if it has any legs to stand on. So that's the decision that we will need to make today. Mr. Thinnes.
Part of the reason for the comments I was having is because the job of this commission is to determine what is the proper use of land. That's what zoning is all about. And this plays in. You know, this is a private, for-profit business operating on a county-owned land with an agreement with the county, and that all plays in. Is this an expansion of that situation, the proper use of the land? And is an extension of that also the proper use of adjacent lands that are privately owned lands? It all boils down to, are these proper uses of the land? And that's what we're here addressing tonight. We're going to make a recommendation to the council whether we feel this is the proper use of the land. My main concern was having enough time to read all of the planning department's comments and suggestions and recommendations. A lot of the side stuff regarding the taxation and the TIF and all that stuff basically was a benefit for you, Mark, because you're my representative, and this is the only forum I can make my thoughts known to you. Otherwise, we're in violation of open meeting stuff. So now you know how I feel about some of that stuff.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions from the commission? Mr. Engineer, any questions?
I guess not really questions, but like the rest of them, I do appreciate all the comments. It was interesting to hear. Being a staff member, I anticipate a lot of those, and so our goal was how can we make this, you know, the best development where it wouldn't affect property values. And I totally get, you know, the existing situation up there, the problems, the issues, and I totally understand, Mr. Thinnes, how, you know, you feel rushed because this was a lot, and we got it at the last minute. And I want to give kudos to Mr. Joel Deedle for taking all this information and putting it into a forum. I gave him all my comments, and he actually made it readable. I have some issues with the way it's laid out, but as you know, we've been meeting on a weekly basis, and I think all those things can be worked out and negotiated. But some things came at the last minute that, you know, for the purpose of what we're trying to do, though, we're not trying to do a final site plan. You know, we're just trying to figure out, could these uses, matter of fact, I think that these uses could actually lessen some of the negative things that are happening up there now. And that's what we're trying to, as we work through, trying to mitigate those kinds of things. So I'm comfortable with at least throwing it to council and saying let you have it, but I understand that I'm a lot more intimate with it than you are. I do have a good friend who's the city engineer in Kokomo, and I called him and had a lengthy discussion about what the baseball stadium down there is and how it's operated, and it's a very good thing for Kokomo. I know other staff members have talked to Mequon and some of the other communities where actually you've done, and they had very positive things to say. So I've got a comfort level that I think we can make it work. There's some things in here I'm not crazy about, but I do like most of the recommendations Mr. Deagle put in here. It's a pretty lengthy document, and again, I understand if you haven't had time to fully digest it, and I totally understand that. So I guess those are my thoughts.
I will have to agree with Mr. Thinnes in regards to the amount of time that I had to review this data. And there were several comments out there with regards to that about rushing in. I am not a voting member on this commission. I'm only the orator and I'm the acting mayor. So the individuals here, the commissioners here, have to make a decision. They can make a decision to vote or make a motion to move forward, or they can make a motion to postpone and table the action until they've had proper time to go through this. But someone will need to make an action. Mr. Attorney.
Mr. Chairman, just for clarification, your role as chairman in place of the mayor is not as acting mayor, but chairman under Robert's rules, and the chairman votes to affect the result. Mayor as acting, or alderman as acting mayor, council president at a common council meeting can only vote to break a tie. That's all a vote that the mayor can cast, but it's a different role at the plan commission.
Okay, thanks for clarification.
You can vote to affect the result, make or break a tie or affect the result. Four votes are needed for all actions by the plan commission. If an additional vote was required, it would be within your discretion on whether or not to cast that vote if you so chose, and that was your decision on that particular motion.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Thinnes.
Well, then I'll make a motion to, I don't know if the terminology would be to postpone or to table till time certain, probably would be our next regularly scheduled meeting for a review of the information.
If we could humbly request, we'd rather have a vote against. I mean, we would prefer to understand where inclination lies today.
We've read that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should do what they want.
The next scheduled meeting would be the 7th of April.
Let me just get a clarification. I'm not sure if the comment from back there was. You're saying you would rather have a vote turning down the zoning change as opposed to postponing it to let us get comfortable in the information that really wasn't provided to us until, 2 days ago? I mean,
we would just request that action be taken.
I could have had a whole weekend to look at this stuff if I would have had it on the Friday like I usually have it. I have a full-time job. I had two projects on deadline this week, and I didn't have the time to spend on this 8 hours a day. How long did it take you to put this stuff together? How long did it take Mr. Deedle to do his review of this thing? That is a lot of time spent that isn't given just review if we don't look at this stuff and consider it thoroughly.
Is there a second on that motion? Hearing no second, the motion fails. Is there a motion?
first.
What we'll do is there's two motions that are on the table. First of all, it's the comp plan. The comprehensive master plan amendment that needs to be reviewed and approved first. A motion to approve a resolution recommending the adoption of an ordinance to amend the City of Franklin's 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to change the City of Franklin's 2025 future land use map use designations for properties located at approximately 7900 West Crystal Ridge Drive and along West Rawson Avenue and West Loomis Road and West Old Loomis Road, including but not limited to 8220, 8240, 8316, and 8490 West Old Loomis Road from residential use and transportation use to mixed use land south of Rawson Avenue and to reclassify certain existing road right-of-ways from transportation use to mixed use lands north of Rawson Avenue with regards to the proposed Ballpark Common Sports Anchored Mixed Use Development pursuant to Wisconsin Statutes 66-1001-4B. Do I hear a motion on the Comprehensive Master Plan Amendment?
I would make that motion to approve.
And do I hear a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Against?
No.
Roll call, please.
Commissioner Hogan?
Aye.
Commissioner Thinnes?
No.
Commissioner Haley?
Aye.
Commissioner Morrow?
Aye.
And the alderman votes aye. Motion passes. The next motion is the Plan Development District Ordinance Amendment, public hearing. A motion to recommend approval of an ordinance to amend Section 15-3.0442 of the Unified Development Ordinance Planned Development District, number 37, the Rock Sports Complex, to revise the district and to expand the district to encompass certain adjacent area lands to create the Ballpark Commons. Do I hear a motion?
I make that motion.
I'll second it.
I heard a second.
Discussion.
Discussion? Mr. Morrow?
Yeah, this is, Mr. Dio, could you expand on some of your recommendations and specifically how the existing facilities would be impacted with studies?
So staff, my recommendation was that there would be a study done for both the noise and the lights for the entire Rock Sports Complex, so just the sports complex, not the lands to the south, not the lands that they acquired from the DOT, just the Rock Sports Complex, the current PDD, a comprehensive sound and light study of both the existing and proposed facilities, and that study would be done at the cost of the applicant. The consultant would be picked by the city, and then the consultant would make recommendations. City would consider those recommendations in the implementation of its plans. So, for instance, I was envisioning if the consultant made recommendations that a certain kind of system would have to be constructed for the stadium, the council would consider making those kinds of changes to the plans submitted by the applicant. I did point out that it was not staff's intent to require those same changes for the existing ball fields. I did suggest that those changes be considered when the existing facilities make a change or within a year's time from the time of the study being adopted or approved by the council.
And as a follow-up question to the city attorney, so if, for example, a consultant came in and says, we think you should have XYZ system, and they decide not to implement it, would that affect this, or would that, or ideally that, or theoretically that could be used by council when they approach the council for their permits for existing uses on the existing facilities each year?
A violation of a condition in a planned development district ordinance is a violation of the zoning code, and depending upon the nature of the violation, it can be a letter timing correction. It can be a forfeiture, a citation, city citation, or it ultimately can be a legal action to, in effect, revoke the plan development district use approval as well. Or theoretically, depending upon the nature of the violation, some form of nuisance action could have the same result. Depends what it is.
And I'm not even talking of a violation per se, but if the consultant came back and says, we think there should be something implemented, the council could use that. Because as I understand, the existing facilities have to come in for permits for their concerts and so forth each year, correct? No? That's
a general subject matter. There are 45 pages in the draft ordinance prepared by Mr. Dietl. There are 32 conditions, which I've heard referred to earlier as step by step by step, and this is an early step. All those conditions would have to be complied with if the Common Council would approve in the form as drafted by the Department of City Development.
Okay.
So there are different levels of conditions. Some do go to licenses, et cetera, but in this particular case, before any shovel goes in the ground, there has to essentially be a site plan approval and all the detail involved. And that's where all those conditions would be addressed. And if a study provides results and the study is a condition of the plan development district ordinance, it's part of the ordinance and it shall be complied with, or else it's a violation.
May I ask a question? No. Yes.
Yes, you can.
I heard what you were asking. At the study says do X, Y, or Z.
To the existing facilities.
To the existing facilities. And just making clear, that would potentially impact noncompliance with that on the existing facilities would impact the PDD for the entire. It would be noncompliance with a condition of the entire PDD. And what's not just clear, the unstated thing there, is what does the condition actually say about the city's discretion to determine whether, if the consultant says do X, Y, Z, or A, B, C, which of those two gets picked and how is, I think, not defined in the conditions as written. Is that correct? The council has the ability to determine with reason which of the conditions, according to that report,
yes, council could. Yes, yeah. Council could decide.
Yeah.
But the Common Council decides.
Yes, the Common Council decides. Yes.
That was your final question?
Yes.
Mr. Dietl.
Just wanted to mention, because it's a suggestion, it's not in the ordinance. So if the Plan Commission concurs with that suggestion, some kind of motion or something along those lines would have to be made to make it part of the ordinance. Right now, it's just a suggestion. So it's separate from the recommendation, which is in the ordinance, that only applies to new facilities.
Mr. Dietl, if there is a violation, what is the punishment?
If it's a violation of the city's standard UDO and municipal code standards, then there's the process and penalties and enforcement measures set forth in the ordinance, which I don't know offhand, possibly fines, possibly forfeitures, possibly revoking of their approvals for those related aspects of the project. For anything new, because the study, my motion the recommended motion includes trying to address reasonably and reasonable concerns of the neighbors. That may not be the same as the code. That may be setting a higher standard. So then we would have to identify at some point in this process what those penalties would be, because that would not be covered by the current municipal code or the current UDO. We'd be setting the bar higher if we decided that the study came back with something like that, which was adopted by the council. Then we would have to clarify what the penalties would be if that was a problem.
And in here, condition number one states that they wanted a more flexible decision-making process to go through the plan, but your recommendation is and will be that it is to go through the common council, the elected body, correct?
But with the current delegation of authority that the plan commission has right now, so just those uses which are permitted uses as set forth in the PDD and in the UDO, those would be still under the jurisdiction and purview of the plan commission, but everything else would go to the common council. So PDD amendments would go to the council. Special uses would go to the council. Any kind of changes that are unanticipated would go to the council.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Do we need to change our... to add what Mr. Diola stated?
Oh, that's part.
I believe that's in there already. Okay. There's no change, was there?
If you wanted to apply to the exist, if you want the light and sound
yes.
recommendations to apply to existing facilities, you would have to make a motion to include that.
Yes. In the original motion, would you like to add that terminology or that additional condition, Mr. Haley?
I guess I'm wondering how the applicant feels about it.
I mean,
they're making a commitment.
We certainly anticipate. We would anticipate that the Common Council would review that independently. In any case, based your recommendation, we'll move from here to the council. They'll make the binding decision. Certainly, we would suggest that being forced to swap out lights and a sound system that are currently compliant with Franklin Ordinance in an existing condition as a part of this would go beyond the reach that we would anticipate. However, we would also agree to the notion that, and I think I suggested this in our last meeting, one, the new equipment, the new lights, those we anticipate would need to meet the highest standard that we can meet. And if we were to ever replace the sound system or the lights and go through a replacement of system, it would need to meet those same standards. Those lights were put in 2 years ago or several years ago, and we have, I think, Mr. Zimmerman's actually gone through the testing of those systems to confirm that the light and the sound are meeting the City of Franklin ordinances currently. And then we also understand, from what I understand, and I can't speak to it because I was not part of the negotiation, there was a negotiated settlement between Greendale and the Rock.
No, it's being reviewed right now because it was signed without the board.
Really?
I would make that amendment to my motion.
Okay.
Again, this is something that the council can work out in greater detail.
We can vet it out with the common council.
I'll second that.
Okay. I've heard a second. I'd like to take a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Against?
No.
That's on the amendment.
And that's on the amendment.
Take a roll call.
And we'll take a roll call, please.
Commissioner Hogan?
Aye.
Commissioner Thinnes?
No.
Commissioner Haley?
Aye.
Commissioner Morrow?
Aye.
And Alderman D'Andrea? Aye. Now,
just Mr. Chairman, just for everyone's information, the planning manager's suggestion in his report in regard to the amendment was that any recommendations from a comprehensive sound and light study that apply to existing facilities or events be implemented within 1 year from the date of acceptance of the study by the Common Council. So that's
specifically what it is. Yeah. No, now on the main motion.
Now, on the main motion,
which you already read in.
I read in already.
Further discussion.
With further discussion. Did I get a...
Okay. All right, all in favor?
All in favor.
Aye.
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 Against?
No.
Roll call.
Roll call.
Commissioner Hogan?
Aye.
Commissioner Finnis?
No.
Commissioner Haley?
Aye.
Aye.
Alderman Dandrea, aye.
We did have a motion, a main motion, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. We agreed to amend it.
We agreed to amend it.
Motion passes.
Motion passes. Motion to amend.
To amend the motion.
Basically now a motion to adjourn.
No, we haven't done another
item.
Oh, wait.
We're not done yet.
Number three.
I don't get 2 minutes, though.
Thank you.
Pardon? You're welcome.
Did you mention clear out?
Yeah, we're going to clear out.
Number three.
The Hobby Lobby. That's right.
This is a condominium of businesses, isn't it? You know, I think a condominium is...
It really
hasn't
been presented to us yet. All they're talking about
project
is the envelope.
It's
probably back here.
Yeah.
They've got to come back. Where's my motion on that?
You get paid by the hour?
Good. You pretend to be me. It works for this man.
Here is the planned development district number three. This one. Okay. No public hearing. We have another item that we have to cover here, item D. So I ask that the parties take this their discussion out of the meeting, please. Item D is business matters regarding the Plan Development District number 13, the Walmart, Sam's Wholesale Club, and Hobby Lobby Land Division. Mr. Deedle, could you elaborate, please?
Yes, sir. The engineer representing the applicant is here.
I can't hear
If you have any questions.
I can't hear you.
Aaron, can you make sure that they move their discussion outside, please?
As noted in the Plan Commission packet materials, this item is for the Hobby Lobby store. They're... interested in doing a condominium plat to be able to subdivide the building so they can have a separate tenant in the back. They also want to do a certified survey map to cut out an outlot on the front on 27th Street so they could sell that and have a different tenant on there. So involved with this project then is then a condominium plat, certified survey map. Potentially there was a land division variance because we thought they were creating a flag lot. They've widened that flagpole part, so we're saying that it doesn't quite meet the definition of a flag lot, so we're saying staff's recommendation is there's no land division variance needed anymore. And then a planned development district to allow a 0-foot setback because now they're doing the condominium plat and the certified survey map, so they have a 0-foot setback. So we're recommending approval of all those, and we did have a number of conditions. And I was just going to touch on the one that they probably have a concern with. I think the applicant is going to have a concern with the cross-access easement, which is one of our proposed conditions. And so then they're probably going to want to talk about it. I can guess maybe to cut the chase short, if they could come up with another alternative that's more than just something shown on the CSM or subdivision plat, something that's with teeth in the PDD, I think staff would be fine.
Okay, sir.
Hi, Justin Johnson, JSD Professional Services, N22W22931 Nancy's Court, Waukesha. I'm here on behalf of W.S. Franklin, LLC, who is the owner of that particular property. And really, this whole project is just about making the land more available for the highest and best use of the property, given that there's an underutilized warehouse space in back that has been very difficult to come up with a good user for, a good solid long-term user. And then an underutilized parking lot area up front that we would like to divide off into a outlot that we can market to a good user. As Joel mentioned, the only condition in the staff report that really was problematic for us was the requirement that we work with Walmart for a cross-access agreement for the existing driveway between the Walmart property and the Hobby Lobby property. Not that we're opposed to cross-access there. I think some language in the PDD ordinance would probably handle that. I don't think that access could be physically removed without a PDD amendment anyways. Just the point of trying to get an easement from Walmart for something that they really don't have any, there's no real stake for them in offering or agreeing to that for us. So if that condition can be reworked as language in the PDD ordinance, I think we're good with that. Other than that, there had been some conversations with staff about some adjustments to the conservation easement, and we're agreeable to that also.
Mr. Deedle, do you believe that is possible?
I believe so. We can add a statement in the PDD that cross-access must be maintained between all the adjacent properties.
Okay.
And I think something that general would be fine unless somebody else sees a problem.
Mr. Morrow?
I have personal experience trying to get attorneys in Bentonville, Arkansas to do anything, and if they're not motivated to do it, you might as well try to push this building. You physically can drive across it now as long as
yes.
That they don't block it up somehow. I'm okay with that.
Okay. Are there any questions by the commission? No? Okay, the Plan Development District, number 13, Walmart, Sam's Whole Club, and Hobby Lobby Division. A minor amendment definition. A motion to determine the proposed amendment to be a minor amendment. Do I hear that motion?
So move.
Second. Seconded by Ms. Hogan. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Against? Motion passes. Now on the second topic, the Plan Development District Ordinance Amendment. A motion to recommend approval of an ordinance and amend section 15-3.0418 of the Unified Development Ordinance Plan Development District Number 13, Walmart/Sam's Wholesale Club, to allow for 0-foot interior property line setbacks for buildings and parking lot setbacks. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
And Mr. Chairman, I believe this PDD amendment is where the planning manager is recommending that additionally the draft before you be changed to, in lieu of the requirement for a cross-access easement to be obtained, that cross-access be replaced with a provision that cross-access must be maintained between and among the properties.
Does the motion accept that addition?
Motion. Motion to approve.
Okay.
Second.
A second? Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Against? Motion passes 4-0. On the two-lot certified survey map, a motion to recommend approval of a resolution conditionally approving a two-lot certified survey map being Lot 1 of Certified Survey Map Number 6543, recorded on August 7, 1998, Real 43667, Images 1756 to 1758, inclusive, as Document Number 7578744, as corrected by Affidavit of Correction, recorded as Document Number 7724864, part of the northeast one quarter and the northwest one quarter of the southeast one quarter of Section 1, Township 5 North, Range 21 East, City of Franklin, Wisconsin, City of Franklin, Milwaukee County, Wisconsin. Do I hear a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Against? Passes 4-0. On the idea of the condominium plat, a motion to recommend approval of a resolution conditionally approving a condominium plat for 6803 condominiums at 6803, 6805, and 6807 South 27th Street. Do I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Against? None? Zero? Motion passes 4-0.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion to adjourn. Seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Against? We adjourn.